Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hey friends, it's Ken Carmen.
And Anthony Lima.
Did you know that the Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima is both a radio show and a podcast?
You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
Catch the full episode, listen by the hour, or jump straight to the highlights.
Just open up your favorite podcast app, search our names, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show.
Your way and on your time.
Baskin and Phelps, 92.3 The Fan, sitting on a strange day here in Northeast Ohio, celebrating the Guardians as they embark in the wild card series against the Tigers. That is at home, and that starts tomorrow at 1 o'clock. Again, tickets are available for all three games. Hopefully, they only need two, and hopefully the Guardians win those two games. Plus, you've also got the reaction day from the Browns and Lions as they take off for London a little later this week. They'll take on the Minnesota Vikings. They lost yesterday 34-10, giving up 14 points in that final quarter and ended up losing 34-10. But you know who was there for everything you wanted to listen to yesterday, immediately following the game? That's right. The man to my left, Jeff Phelps, and this man, Tyvus Paul. Hello, Tyvus. How are you?
Partner.
Gentlemen, how y'all doing today?
We were talking baseball. We were ecstatic. Everything was good. And then all of a sudden, we got back on the roller coaster and started talking about the Browns and things. Don't feel real good right now when you think about where this team is and what can be fixed, what can't be fixed, the long-term prospects of what this season may be, looking at the draft. I mean, there's just so much there to kind of digest. Let me start with this question. What happened yesterday?
What happened yesterday is that we didn't have no checks and adjustments. I think they came in with a game plan. Obviously, it looked good to open the game with being able to... They started to go up, and they ended up scoring a touchdown right away, and it was great. And then the Detroit Lions made some adjustments, and we did not, and that's what the game came down to me. I think that they got to do a better job of handling in-game adjustments. You know, even listening to Stefanski talk after the game, you know, he talked about how he – didn't, you know, they had a game plan for Aiden Hutchinson, and he was a little bit better than they thought he was going to be. My thing is, he should have been able to make those adjustments to be able to do what he wanted to do on offense. The fact that we didn't speaks a lot.
So let me get this out of the way. Boy, that defense is pretty good. Yesterday, of the 34 points, 24 directly set up by either turnovers or the special teams mess up on the punt return. What's impressed you about the defense? What do you like about it?
I like the fact that they have the ability to really shut down a lot of the run game. I know Jahmyr Gibbs had a really good game, you know, late, but they did a pretty good job of keeping him contained. You know, we talked about, you see, they wanted to take shots to Jameson Williams. They did a good job being able to protect that. And I think that pass rush is doing a good job of getting to the quarterbacks to slow down a lot of the things that they want to do. I love the tackling on this team. Don't feel like they missed a lot of tackles. And, yeah, and they're not really giving up explosives. I think that's how you become a successful defender. You can eliminate explosive plays, you can play this game for a long time. And the Browns do a really good job of eliminating explosives.
All right, do me a favor. Tell me what to do, a quarterback on this team. What are you going to do?
That is the million-dollar question.
You're getting daddied in the background, aren't you, Tyvus?
Oh, yeah. You heard my daughter.
That's okay.
Yeah.
You can take care of her for a second if you need to. We get it. We understand it.
No, she's fine. Okay. She was asking for her iPad. Anyway.
She's like, Dad, I don't understand what's going on with the Browns quarterback situation. Will you tell me, please?
She's just as confused as everybody out here. She's just trying to get answers, too. But anyway. I think with the Browns quarterback situation, it's so hard to tell because we're so quick to say, you know, Joe ain't good or Joe ain't got it no more. But we also will admit that we're struggling at the tackle position and the pressure is getting to them. You know, you want guys to be able to make plays, and then, you know, some of the things that's getting lost in it is the fact that none of our receivers are making plays like that. You know, Judy had 9 targets and only had 3 catches. You know, guys aren't coming through and making those plays either. So it's not all on Joe. Yes, the quarterback gets all the glory and they receive all the criticism, but we can't be naive to the fact that other guys, there's other pieces to the offense, and those guys aren't doing it either. You know, the only bright spot on offense is number 10. That's been it. So I think, I would like to see Dillon Gabriel in there sometime. Maybe, you know, the way that he gets the ball out of his hands quickly, maybe that fits Kevin's style. You know, when you look at Joe, Joe does want to kind of push the ball down the field, and we criticize him for checking it down a lot. Maybe Dillon Gabriel fits the Kevin offense a little bit better because in Oregon, he was taught to get the ball out your hand at a decent time. And that's what he's been coached to do, and that's probably what Kevin wants to see.
Do you want to expose one of these rookie quarterbacks to the rest of the offense right now, Tyvus? Or does that not matter at this point, knowing that you're sitting here with a couple of number one picks and looking at a quarterback next year?
I think you owe it to yourself to see what you got. I mean, I think at the end of the day, they really didn't think that highly of neither one of those guys, because if they did, they would have taken them in the first round, you know? So ultimately, I believe that they're going to try to take a first-round quarterback next year anyways. Now, problem is, if you're watching a college game, none of those guys have emerged as being a top guy, you know? So if that's the case, you might as well try to develop the guys that you have. And it's so hard trying to develop 2 rookies at one time. They're trying to get them going, and I think that the best way is you got to rip that Band-Aid off at some point. You know, and I know a lot of people is like, well, you don't want to demoralize them if they go out there and have a bad game. My thing is, if that kid can't bounce back to play in the next game, or that one game messes his mentality up that much, was he ever going to be the franchise guy to begin with, you know? So I think that fans is growing tired of seeing the same old thing. And if you want to spice it up and keep people engaged, then you got to make that change at some point.
Not a lot of people are pointing fingers at – I shouldn't say that. People are pointing fingers at special teams. Dude, what's going – I mean, they're not helping out either. And they didn't help out yesterday. How does that change?
Special teams is just an all-out effort play. It's one play that you give out all-out effort for, you know. And I'm not saying that the effort isn't there, but you got to coach those guys up to be more disciplined in what they're doing. You know, when you talk about punt returns, you know, you punt the ball and the punt team fans out and everybody has to stay in their lane. You know, you dominate your lane. Guys start crisscrossing or get pushed out of their lane, it creates seams. And when you create those seams, good returners find them, and that's how you get a touchdown. You give up a touchdown. So these guys got to do a better job of fanning out on the field, making sure that they dominate their lanes, and just making sure that they make the play when it comes their way.
If you're the Browns, you see an issue, you go trade for Cam Robinson, who's been kicking around the league the last couple of years with a number of teams, how much are you helping yourself? A little bit? A lot?
I mean, at this point, you're trying to get some experience. You know, you can't – it's not like you can coach a guy up on the fly and have him come in and just play. You got to have a guy that's done this job, you know, in this league and have some type of success with it. And I think that's what they're doing. That's why you go get a Therrell Mumford last week. That's why you get a Cam Robinson this week. You get guys that's actually played in a game that's had some success, and you're hoping that they can come in and plug and play right now. Because if this was like training camp, you know, maybe you could go take the chance on somebody else. But at this point, you're in the middle of the season. You got to get guys with the experience, and that's what the Browns are trying to do.
If you're walking in that locker room today and you're a leader on this team, what are you saying to your teammates?
The Vikings is a team that looks very beatable. Obviously, right now they're down to their second-string quarterback. Their defense isn't playing well like they have been in years past. This is a very gettable game. We're not going to London to have fun. We're going to London to get back right. This is one of those get-back-right games, because you walk out of this game 2-3, you look around the rest of the division, you got a chance. You know, you got a chance to try to get back here. The Ravens aren't what you thought they was. Cincinnati, we'll see. Without Joe Burrow, the team that you're chasing the most will be Pittsburgh, which you play them next week head-to-head. You get this win in London, and then you find a way to beat the Steelers. Now you're sitting at 3-3. They'll be sitting at maybe 4-2, maybe 3-3 as well. Now we're talking about a whole different ball game. So they just got to find a way to get this win by any means necessary.
As a defensive back during your playing days, What did you think of other wide receivers? Did you see a guy and you thought, that guy's great, this is a star player, this is the type of talent we have to deal with? Or were most of the guys, many of the guys, just guys who ran the patterns and caught the ball if it came their way? You know what I'm saying? I don't think the Browns have the wide receiver who's going to scare a defense. So as a defender, what do you do against guys who aren't that type of a wide receiver? There's no Justin Jefferson here. There's no DK Metcalf. So as a DB, how do you play these guys?
I mean, you play them honestly. I mean, first of all, unless his name was Julio Jones or Antonio Brown or something like that, you kind of looked at everybody as even keel. Everybody that's in the league is good at something. There's something about them that makes them stand out to be in the league, whether it's speed, whether it's route running, whether it's physicality. You know, those are like the three main things that kind of separate different wide receivers. So when you look at us, you look at a guy like Jerry Jeudy, that's a guy that's supposed to run really good routes. You know, he's supposed to be really good getting in and out of his breaks. So I know when I'm going up against a Jerry Jeudy, when it's time to get out of his, when it's time to break, I got to make sure that my feet is 1-2. I can't be messing around. I got to get out of breaks. And then with him, with a guy that runs routes as good as he does, anticipation has to be it too. You know, you got to believe that your pass rush is going to get there. And if you look at the film and the history of what we're doing this season, it's not a lot of stretching downfield. So I ain't got to really backpedal out of there. I can sit on a lot of routes, you know, and I think that's the part of the offense that we need to get. Right now is the time to capitalize. People aren't seeing a lot of us go vertical, so they're going to sit on a lot of routes. Now it's time to hit some of those double moves, you know, block it up with seven if you got to. But we can really start to get on teams, especially early, jump on them early by running some of these double moves. Now, it's hard to do it at the beginning of a game because that quarterback arm might not be warmed up. He might miss the throw. So that's why you see oftentimes coordinators wait till second quarter, third quarter, or late in the game to be able to pull some of these double moves off. But I think Joe Flacco's been playing in this league for quite some time. I think he should be – you let him know early, yeah, we start the game off with some type of double move, he will be ready to hit it because that will be a big play. That would take the momentum away from that team, and now you're playing ahead instead of behind, which always is a better feeling.
We know the offensive line has been an issue. I say that to set up this comment. Joe Flacco has thrown the second most passes in the NFL. Is that the best way for this team to win?
No, because right now our wide receivers aren't playing at that type of level right now. So okay. I think the best way for this team to win is to run the ball. You know, the strength of your team is the middle of the interior of your offensive line, and I think you got to utilize those guys. Quinshon Judkins is the only guy on that defense is fear, and you got to find a way to feed him and get him that ball.
All right, I'd be remiss if I didn't ask you one Ohio State question. Where do you think the Buckeyes are sitting right now? How do you think – I mean, they finally had a Big Ten game. They went out to Washington. They won 24-6.
What do I think about the Buckeyes?
Yeah, what are your thoughts on the Buckeyes right now? Because the one thing that I think is interesting is I thought the offense got conservative against Washington early on in that game and then kind of opened things up. I felt a lot like Texas for the first half. I don't know, just kind of your thoughts as they, you know, now they're into the heart of the Big Ten schedule.
I think the Buckeyes is one of the best teams out there right now. I mean, if you look at the way that they're playing, they're dominating their opponents. I know the Washington game started off slow, obviously not getting a turnover on downs in the red zone and then fumbling the punt. Mm-hmm. Was not ideal. But the way that defense played, you know, Damon Williams is one of the best athletes out there in the game right now. He hurts people by being able to utilize his legs, and he's one of the most accurate quarterbacks in the game right now. He hit a couple of passes that I was very impressed with to show off his accuracy. But what makes him so dangerous is also his legs. He had, I want to say, negative 29 yards rushing. So the Buckeyes did a really good job of being able to swarm him and not allowing him to get comfortable in that game and be able to do the things that they want to do. I think when you look at the Buckeyes, I think they're the best team in the country because they show up and they dominate games. You know, obviously the Texas game was only a one possession game, but that's the first game of the season. Since then, they've had some pretty dominant performances. The only place that really people can question mark them on is their scoring in the red zone, which has to get better. Obviously, I just told you they're often stalled on the first drive of the game when they got down to the red zone. They got to get better in that aspect, and I believe they will as this season goes on. But if you look around the board, those young guys that needed to grow up have fully developed right before our eyes, and they playing some really good ball.
Brian Day said that after the game, too. All right, hey, Tyvus, thank you. We'll see you this weekend on the Browns Radio Network, bright and early on Sunday morning, my friend.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hey friends, it's Ken Carmen
and Anthony Lima.
Did you know that the Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima is both a radio show and a podcast?
You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
Catch the full episode, listen by the hour, or jump straight to the highlights.
Just open up your favorite podcast app, search our names, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show.
Your way and on your time.
Get the latest from the Browns practice throughout the week right now on our YouTube channel. Daryl Ryder recaps each and every practice and game while featuring the best highlights from the coaches and the players during their media availability. And, of course, all the on-the-field stuff as well. So subscribe to 92.3 The Fan on YouTube, our channel. Do it. Get all the latest from Daryl on the Browns throughout the football season. And, of course, Kevin Stefanski's press conference coming up 1 o'clock. You will hear it right here on The Fan.
He is Jeff Phelps. I'm Andy Baskin. All right, Dan, should I call him out or what? Should we call him out?
I mean, does he? You good with that?
Can we call you out?
Call you out?
Call who out?
You.
I don't care.
Say it. Who's the quarterback this week? Who is Kevin Stefanski going to say is the quarterback in this press conference?
You mean just because I said something in the break, now I have to say it on the air?
Well, I said to you in the break, I go, really? That's where you're going with this? And I said, and then I looked at the microphone. I go, are you willing to say that here? And you were like, yeah.
No, you actually never said that.
Dan, did I not say it to him? Dan, did I not say, are you willing to do this on the air?
Well, he did what you wanted him to do.
Dylan Gabriel.
What do you mean?
Dylan Gabriel will start in London. There. You want it?
Oh, you just said it. Okay.
Yeah, I said it twice while you were over there. Hey, Dan, wait a minute.
Well, say it again. I want to hear you say
Dylan
it again.
Dylan Gabriel will start in London.
You're staking your reputation on that. So bitter.
As Emilio Estevez said in the movie Repo Man at the end.
Yes.
I can't say it, but started with an F, and then he said that.
Forget that.
Reputation.
Why do you believe he is going to say Dylan Gabriel is starting Sunday?
Have you seen the offense?
Why do you? Yeah, but I've also seen the coach. I have no faith in the coach. Yeah. You know, we're going to, if anything, he'll give you ambiguity.
You know, the only thing I worry about.
Then you want to talk about the bet?
Whether it's Dylan, whether it's Shador, you know, I don't want to see these guys get hurt. It's the same thing with Joe. You know, Joe's out there now. Joe doesn't have a long career ahead of him. I guess that's what's going on. I mean, seriously, Andy, why wouldn't you change quarterbacks? I mean, it's not Joe's fault. As I said earlier, and I think this is the way to describe Joe. Mm-hmm. And you know, since they brought him back, I have not been a fan of the whole notion.
No kidding.
Well, you see why. You've seen four games. You've seen 16, You're 17, also, 13, and 10 points.
Yeah,
and
trust me, I've been talking about it for a year.
He's part of the problem. He's not the whole problem, but he's part of the problem. Mm-hmm. So why? I mean, you've not scored more than 17 points in any of four games, for God's sake.
Do you want me to go back to last year?
Because I can keep rolling it out.
Why? Well, I'm just playing devil's advocate. I don't believe. Like, I'm ready for them to make.
So am I.
I don't have a problem with a change. I don't. If they make it, they make it. Just lean into it. Whatever you're going to do, just do it and try to do it right. Because we haven't just seen it. But
and again, I don't know if Dylan's
don't,
the answer.
If you truly don't believe Dylan Gabriel or Shador Sanders, Dylan Gabriel in particular, because he's the guy that's been active the last four games and the other guy's been the emergency quarterback. If you truly believe that they're not ready, then don't put him out there. Okay? Can we agree on that? If you truly believe they're not ready, don't put him out there. That's a coach's responsibility and he needs to be right.
If a guy who's played 6 years of college
that's
football,
not what I said.
No, that you didn't let me finish what I was saying.
Yeah, I know. Okay. Go ahead, finish. Finish.
Go ahead. You were going.
No, I'm just saying, if you truly don't believe he's ready to go, whether he played 6 years or 16 years of college, you don't believe he's ready.
Could have drafted Jackson Dart. Menigan just said, oh, for Christ's sake, off mic.
Wow.
I'm just saying.
The curtain's gone.
Jackson Dart has played a lot less football than Dylan Gabriel, and he was ready to go start in New York.
Maybe
he's better.
Maybe he is.
Yep, maybe he is.
Maybe academically he can handle the playbook better.
I don't think the answer at quarterback is on this team. You know that, right?
I know you
don't. Okay. The answer is not on this team. He's playing college football or he's playing elsewhere. Maybe he's sitting in Atlanta right now. Maybe he's sitting in New York waiting to get traded.
I think he's leaving Joe in this week.
Well, and that'd be okay too. That's what you feel you have to do. I mean, it's his job.
But Jeff Phelps, longtime sports reporter, the man that brought the whoop-de-doo sports review into my living room as a kid, you're telling me you won't be shocked if he changes quarterbacks today?
I'm hoping he changes, Andy. This is awful. I mean, come on, man. You got to change something. You're not going to change a whole offensive line. You're playing musical tackles because you don't have healthy ones. I understand they're not healthy. All right? Your reserves, you didn't do a very good job, apparently, because you can't keep Joe. Joe's been hit like crazy. Your wide receivers aren't very deep, and they've not been very good. I'm sorry. I'm no football expert, and I've been saying that the wide receivers aren't very good and aren't very deep for years. I'm no football expert, but I know enough about it to look at it and go, yeah, they're not very good, and they're not very deep. I mean, come on, man. Seriously, you know what they have on offense, Andy?
Yeah.
They have a good young running back.
And tight ends.
They have a good young running back.
And tight ends. They have tight ends.
They have
too.
A rookie tight end who becomes good.
No, he's good.
Okay.
He's good now. I see him. He's trying to bring guys down. How many guys it take to bring him down?
Good.
The kid's a tank.
I hope, as long as he can hang on to the ball, I think that's great.
He's a tank.
He has potential. Yeah. And I think David Njoku is a terrific tight end who has never achieved his full potential. They have one guy on offense who concerns the defense. One guy. And he's been here for three games.
Cleveland.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
We're starting to get chippy with each other right now. I can feel it.
And he's out of here for a couple of days. He's trying to egg me on, Cleveland.
Trust me, I don't want to be out of here for a couple of days. Oh. Go ahead.
Well, see, the thing is that he's not going to put take Flacco out. It'll be after the Pittsburgh game, and it makes sense because then you're going to start to play teams that are on another scale of something that you don't want to put a young kid into, not a kid, but a young quarterback into, when you can start him off with a game that he thinks that he might be able to do something with a little bit. Because, see, with Flacco, his feet and his legs aren't strong enough, and his feet aren't quick enough because he'd have got that close touchdown.
His arm is strong enough. I'll disagree with you on the arm.
No, I said his legs and his feet.
I thought you said his arm and his legs.
And his feet are not as quick. Okay?
Okay.
And that, if you look at that, when he was on the goal line, his feet did not move at all. There was one, two step, and then no chopping or nothing. Okay? So I just don't think that he's going to throw them in. And then the other thing I wanted to mention right quick is, not to just to change the subject, but nobody talks about the Guardians' potential seven starting pitchers on this roster.
You better start listening a little bit more. We talked about that last week, that they now suddenly have a problem with too many. Thank you, Cleveland.
Oh, not a problem, Andy. Luxury. Luxury.
Imagine if we had today's starting pitching with that 90s.
I love people who listen to part of the show and then tell us what we don't talk about. Cleveland, I like you, though. You always have interesting things to say.
Lee is in Bedford. Hello, Lee.
Gentlemen, how's it going?
It is going well. We're just celebrating Bedford today. Tyvus Paul, now we have Leon. It's outstanding.
Thank you. Thank you very much. It's been a long time since I called in. You guys don't call me, so I guess
Dang it.
You know, Jeff said lose Lee's number, and I'm like, dude, how can you do that? And then all of a sudden we come find your number.
Okay, my first question is a Guardian question.
Sure.
Why is that game being played at 1 o'clock? Is that like a
Because we're the smallest market out there. That's why. Let's be honest. There's
going to be a lot of people calling off working.
Productivity in Cleveland's going to go down.
All right, let's go with the Browns now.
They play at 1 o'clock.
Beloved Browns. Let's start with the owner. Let me ask you this. With the owner in Dallas, Pittsburgh, Philadelphia, Kansas City, and any other good team in the league, put up with 6 years of this.
If he thought he was responsible for it, maybe.
Yeah.
Well, he has to play. He has to take part ownership of what's going on.
Well, then he might put up for that reason if he knew it was his fault.
Next. Yeah. I think this is the first time Andrew Berry has actually put some young, promising talent on the field in a draft, free agents, however he did it. He got away from signing guys for 1 year. Contracts and guys coming in and just stealing money, doing nothing. So I give him respect. Confidence in him drafting, using these two first round picks next year the right way. Moving on to Stefanski. I don't think he is capable of fixing what's wrong with the Browns. He's dug a hole so big for himself. And I know if I get tired of hearing his press conferences, you guys get tired of hearing it. It's the same thing over and over and over again. It's too big for him to fix it. He came in.
Yep, but Lee, let me interrupt you, Lee. You see the talent on this offense. Is any coach, an offensive coach, going to come in and win with the talent on this offense?
Good question.
Made Lee hang up.
No, he didn't. I let him go. Oh. We have to go to commercial here in a second. Sorry.
Commercials.
Yeah.
We like those.
That's a somehow you get paid.
We like those.
Yeah.
Can any could well any coach come machine. In?
Yes.
Could any coach come in here and win with his talent? I'm sorry. There's not much talent on this offense. I think there's one player on this team that looks like a pretty good player. That's Quinshon Judkins. The offensive linemen are older. They've been beat up. Wide receivers are not playing at the level they should be playing at or could be playing at, or if they are, then that is even worse. And I think the tight ends are good. I don't think they're great.
It's
there's
interesting
not much that, talent here.
It's interesting that you bring this up because I'm going to ask you a question when we come back. One of the players on this team has a label, and are they worthy of it? Try to think about it, and we'll tell you who it
record
is.
Record label?
Sure, record label. No, label of what his position is. 216-474-0092. It's Baskin and Phelps, 92.3 The Fan.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hey friends, it's Ken Carmen
and Anthony Lima.
Did you know that the Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima is both a radio show and a podcast?
You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
Catch the full episode, listen by the hour, or jump straight to the highlights.
Just open up your favorite podcast app, search our names, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show.
Your way and on your time.
And... Yeah, I'm on. Welcome to Browns Guardians Radio stuff. Where'd you find this one at? This is pretty good. Did you make this with your band?
Yes.
Just want to make sure. Sounds
Dan
like
and
it.
The Deftones.
Who is it?
Dan and the Deftones. That's who did it.
It sounds pretty good. I don't know. It's not bad, is it? You like it?
Sure.
He's Jeff Phelps. I'm Andy Baskin. Interesting day today. I mean, we've had some interesting conversations. Scott Petrak at 11 o'clock talking Browns. Tyvis Powell talking Browns with us as well at noon, trying to pick up the pieces after the loss from yesterday. Coming up at 1 o'clock, Kevin Stefanski. We are going to talk about the Guardians again. A reminder, they had playoff tickets go on sale at 10 o'clock this morning. And I'm just absolutely blown away by the response of the fans of this town and how they were able to pack the park over the last couple of days. I wonder how many folks are coming over from Detroit for this series.
At 1 o'clock, not as many.
Yeah. Maybe that was a good thing then, don't you?
Let's go with that.
I don't know. And people keep asking, what did the Guardians, you know, did Major League Baseball and ESPN say to the Guardians? Yeah, they did. We know it. We get it. We understand it. But what other markets are we fighting it? We're fighting against New York, Chicago, L.A.?
L.A. Yep.
So guess what's going to happen? You're going to end up being the 1 o'clock game. So I hope we have respectful bosses out there, folks that aren't going to get mad at you for taking some time off, schools that will be okay with the fact that you could actually have some quality time with someone in your family if you take a day off from school to go watch them play. If you want me to, I'll talk to their principal for you. I'll be all over it if you want me to. I'm happy to do that.
Math teachers, let me know. I could tell you how we could do baseball math lessons.
That's right. There, you know, there are lessons to be learned. Mm-hmm. You know, weather. We can talk about weather, right? Geometry. Social studies.
Geometry, for sure. Physics. A little physics in there.
Language. Are you kidding?
That was terrible in geometry.
I mean, come on.
Can I say as a part-time substitute teacher that if you can make it, you should play hooky?
Why should you even have to play hooky? Just be honest with the schools. Hey, we feel this is of educational value to take said child to game over the next couple days. We realize that the playoffs are a special time of year for sports and athletics. We want to make sure our kids are physically fit. We want to show them, except for the first baseman for the Rangers, we want to show them that you can be physically fit, and we want them to be, you know, one with the community. We're teaching social stuff. I can think of a million reasons why you would want to take your kid out of school tomorrow to let him go watch the game. Right? You guys with me on this?
Rowdy Tellez is in a delight. Why would you speak of him such a way?
It's all about education, Andy. It's not necessarily about sitting in a classroom.
That's right. It's about field experience, Jeff.
It's about education.
It's field experience. And why not? And we're also talking about geography. Like, you get to know the city a little bit better.
Detroit. Okay, there I learned a city.
Well, no, I was more thinking like, let's just say you were driving, give me random town, random city, Kirtland. I'm just random town, Lake County. Son, this is how the international highway, or daughter, this is how the international highway system works. This is an even numbered highway, 90. What does that mean, kids? That's right. That means it goes east and west. Now, if I turn down 77, where are we going? North and south? I mean, think about the educational value your kid's going to get by going to the game tomorrow. If you need more, just let me know. We'll take care of you. Phone lines are packed because there's plenty of educational value that we can gather from the Browns.
Is there? Are we sure?
I don't know if educational value.
I would not call it educational value.
There's something.
I brought this up before we went to break, and I was talking about a label on one of our players. Can we stop with Jerry Jeudy being a number one? Because I don't know what other team in the NFL he would be a number one. Do you?
You know, I hate the whole idea of number one, number two.
I know you. I actually thought you liked it a lot.
I've said since Jerry got here, he's nobody's number one. He just happens to be the best wide receiver on this team.
But he's his mom's number one.
All I've said since he's been here is he's nobody's number one. He's just the best receiver on this team. And he still is, by the way. Jerry can play on my team, but, you know, look around the league. He's not comparable to other players who are labeled as those number one guys. He wasn't in Denver. If he was, he would have still been there.
That's true. I think if you can settle into the fact that he could be a two or three on this team, he might. Your expectations would change.
How about just throw him the pass and let him hang on to it?
How about I look at it from the number standpoint and you don't? That's all there is to it.
He has 13 catches on 30 targets. Oh, my goodness. Think about that. Andy, you don't like to do math.
No, I don't.
Even you know that's not good.
Rhino went to Detroit. Rhino.
Hey, gentlemen. Thanks for taking my call. I'll tell you, man, first off, Andy, I'm liking the personnel today. Actually, first off, I forgot to ask you, gentlemen, may I step in your office for Browns Therapy Monday?
Yes, you may. Here's a fake script, dude. It's not going to get you anything anywhere. Thank you.
Let's sign this real quick. Prop my feet up there. All right, man. It is Browns Therapy Monday, but it is just like you guys. I'm feeling good. I hate to say it, I'll bet against the Browns yesterday at the game and won victoriously. Half my scenario was cheering for the Browns, the other half was not.
Rhino, we love you. I got 30 people on hold. You got to get to it today. Sorry about that. I love you. I just want you to know that. Get to it. What do you want to talk about?
You got it, man. So with the Browns moving forward, again, you alluded to obviously what we have in front of us with the wide receiver scenario. We really don't have anything. Offensive line is just a joke and shambles. Yeah. We really don't know what we're moving forward with. I believe, like you alluded to, with Dylan going forward in London is the automatic scenario. We got to see what we have at least, and now is the time to do it. There really is no optimism moving forward this year. I feel that we just need to see at least the one thing we can do this year in particular is the quarterback scenario. And, again, we have to see if these guys are real or not so we can move forward with the draft next year or whomever else is out there. Yeah. With that being said, I guess the only optimism is these quarterbacks. Hopefully they can pull it off. Anyway, guys, great show as always. Thanks for taking my call.
Rhino, thank you. We appreciate your phone call. He's right. I at some point, we got to see what these guys can do. It's just where we are. It's where this franchise is. Mark's in Cleveland. Hi, Mark.
Andy, man.
Hey.
This is what we were trying to tell you from the beginning, man.
What are you trying to tell me?
Should have never started Joe Flacco because we knew what we was going to get, man. And I don't want to hear all these people up here talking about the drop passes and offensive line because they weren't saying that last year when Watson had the same issues.
Mark, did you call and do this on the morning show?
No.
You sure? Did you call yesterday?
Absolutely. Mark calls us, Andy.
No, Mark, man, I swear I heard the same phone call. Maybe I'm having deja vu. Keep going. Sorry.
And the thing is, man, we had the same argument about Watson last year, and nobody said nothing. We had the receiver that league in drops.
Watson had all, with the exception of, he at least had four out of the five offensive linemen, and those guys were catching the ball a little bit better.
That's dead wrong. And he lost one offensive lineman the first game, and each game after that, he lost two offensive linemen per game.
I got to go back and look. That doesn't feel right.
But that's a fact. And see, I wanted to just say you was wrong, Andy.
I'm wrong, but I'll tell you what. You want Watson? Start him. I'm good.
No, I don't want Watson,
well,
man.
What do you want then? What are we arguing about? What do you got?
I'm a Watson fan, but I don't want him anymore, man. Okay. I want to see those young boys and see what they got, man.
Mark, I'm with you. We are one together. We are brotherhood. Thanks, Mark.
Thanks for having me on, fellas.
All right. Mark, feel the love. He's coming at me. I'm like, okay, what do you want? I wouldn't mind seeing these guys. They're 1-3. Where are they going? Where are they going? All right, maybe they win. They're 2-3. And all of a sudden, Flacco's the hero of the town. I mean, we had a kicker. We were ready to run out of town. Then he wins a game for us. Then yesterday, no one said. I haven't heard one word. Anyone say anything about Schmidt today? We're done.
He missed the 56-yarder. People miss 56-yarders.
I was watching the late game last night. They weren't missing him. Okay. I was kind of enjoying that.
Let's go with that.
Especially when they're inside. Right?
Yeah, those are automatic
slack,
now.
Does the slack?
Yeah, you should make 56-yarders all the time.
Are you being sassy with me?
Oh, Mr. Oh, they didn't miss him last night.
Okay. They didn't. I watched that game last night. I see these guys.
Brandon Aubrey and Brandon McManus.
It's getting frustrating here. We're going to have to get to baseball before we start throwing punches in here. Scott in a car. Hi, Scott.
Hey, how you doing?
Hello, Scott. Aggravated. Yes.
Hey, yeah, me too. So I'm tired of the Stefanski excuses. What was the narrative going into last season? We're going to make a deep run into the playoffs. And we went 3-14. Stefanski decides to make Dorsey the play caller, six games in? So he wouldn't be the scapegoat at the end of the year, so he could scapegoat Dorsey just like he did AVP. So at the end of the year, then it's going to run Kevin's offense. Well, now we see what running Kevin's offense does. And I know you talk about the talent on the team. If I remember correctly, Singletary couldn't do anything with the Niners, and Jim Harbaugh came in and took his talent and went to the Super Bowl. So at some point in time, we got to look at Stefanski and just say, this guy was supposed to be an offensive genius. I haven't seen genius at any point in time with this guy.
Early Baker, I liked him there. I'll go give you that. Jeff? There were a lot of games where he came out and they had great game plans to start the game, and then things kind of went sideways after that.
Coaches pay the price when players don't do their job. And if this continues, Kevin will pay the price. So will Andrew Berry, unless ownership has worked out something else.
Kevin Stefanski's press conference straight ahead right here, Baskin and Phelps 92.3, The Fan. Plus, we're talking to Guardians.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Hey friends, it's Ken Carmen
and Anthony Lima.
Did you know that the Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima is both a radio show and a podcast?
You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
Catch the full episode, listen by the hour, or jump straight to the highlights.
Just open up your favorite podcast app, search our names, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show.
Your way and on your time.